loving people. Remember, together we can do more.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Dan Post, Lucchese Boots, along with Minnetonka, Moccasins, and Stetson Hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 646 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I trust also you will be blessed by the message.
Because right after that, if you read, the Lord said, Simon, when you were young, you went about doing as you wanted. But he said, there's going to come a time where you're going to be led where you don't want to go. Talking about his death, amen. Crucifixion. But he was saying that I'm going to take you from the filial and I'm going to bring you into the agapeo, to where you are willing to give your life, amen, for me. It won't just be an affection. It'll be a self-sacrificing. Do you know Peter, history has it, was crucified upside down. Amen. Amen. He didn't find himself worthy to be crucified like his Lord. But you see, in this transition, the new normal is not just going to be filial. You know, the brotherly affection. No, God's going to raise up people. I'll call them crucified ones. Ones that have not only an affection for him, but are self-sacrificing. In other words, it's not just about them. It's about, Lord, what can I do for you? What do you demand of me? What do you want from me? Peter failed 3 times. He had boasted about how he would do this and die, but it was only filial. My question is, how many are just walking in that kind of love? A carnal, brotherly, which is okay. Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Brotherly love. But God says, no, I'm calling you to a new norm. Amen. I'm calling you deeper. Amen. I'm calling you to love me to where you will give yourself up for me. That's a whole nother realm, a whole nother dimension of God, where supernatural phenomena, it's a sent mention. It's where faith and God are there. Fear has no place there. Uncertainty has no place there. Insecurity has no place there. God said, I'm calling you to agapeo, to the agape love. Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to wind this up in a moment. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. In Egypt, Israel, who is a type, and what is written about them is for our learning, that we will not fall after the same examples that they fell after. In Egypt, they didn't have enough. Remember, Pharaoh began to oppress them. They had to build brick without straw. In other words, instead of them delivering the straw to them, they would have to go to the field, get the straw, and bring it back. There's no way that they could continue to produce what they were producing and do that. But that was the demand placed on them. They didn't have enough. In the wilderness, and this is a sign of the wilderness, in the wilderness, they had just enough. In other words, they had manna. Manna appeared every day. But you read the account, they that gathered much had none over. They that gathered little had no lack. In other words, it was just enough. Every day, God was trying to teach them to trust him. To teach them every day that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. In other words, every day they rose up, they had to trust God. On their part, they had to get up early, amen, and get out and gather the manna. Because if they were lazy with their faith, they got up after the sun rose, there was no manna because the manna melted every day. So in order to go through that wilderness, day by day, they had to rise early enough to gather the manna for that day. There's a prayer that Jesus prayed, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. God, through this time, God wants to teach you how to gather daily bread. Amen. How to walk with him daily. How to walk with him moment by moment. Not just call on him when you need something. Amen. Love on him when you don't need anything. Lord, I just want to talk to you. Just want to fellowship with you. Just want to love on you. Just want to sing your songs of praise. Just want to glorify your name. Hello, somebody. We're talking about going from filio to agapeo, to the love of God. We just want to be with him. We want to be where he's at. Amen. Manna, a sign of the wilderness. God said, I have led you these 40 years through the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to teach you, let me say it, paraphrase it, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you looking back, trying to get what God did versus what God is doing now? The manna ceased. That was an indication the wilderness journey was over. The manna might be your comfort zone, but God is cutting it off, shaking it up, letting you know there's something else. See, they entered into Canaan. Now they would experience the miracles of conquest. See, they were going into among seven other nations that were greater and mightier than they were. But they had supposedly learned through the wilderness to trust God. That man doesn't live by bread alone. It doesn't matter the size of the dog in the fight. What matters is the size of his heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It don't matter how little it is. What kind of heart he got. That wilderness is to teach you something. You don't live by bread alone. You don't live by what man says. You trust God day by day. I dare you to trust him. I said, I dare you to trust God. And see, won't he come through? See, won't he teach you? He'll instruct you why he's preparing you for a land that has been prepared for you. I'm here to tell you the best for the church is coming fast. I said the best for the church. Your best days hadn't come yet. It ain't over till God says it's over. We stand at the cusp of a promised land. You better take heed what you hear. Take heed to who you're listening to. Some folk you need to stop listening to. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not what the devil's saying. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they won't follow. So the manna is going to cease. Give me Isaiah chapter 22. The authority lies with the church. Amen. I'm not talking about traditional stuff. Amen. And Christians by only profession. Amen. I'm talking about real born again. Blood washed believers. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 22, 20. talks about a chamberlain. His name was Eliakim. If you read that chapter, you'll see where the chamberlain before him was being judged by God, and God was going to raise up a new chamberlain. Now, a chamberlain, this particular chamberlain, was a chamberlain to the house of David, to the castle, to the premises. In other words, he had all the keys to that castle. In other words, he could open any door, I'm going to say, in that kingdom, because he had the keys. He was a chamberlain. Now, a chamberlain today would be defined as a steward. Amen. We are stewards of the household of faith. God said, behold, I give you keys. Eliakim had keys to the house of David. We have keys to the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody. Let's take a look. Verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Look at this. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. Hear the authority, the government. The Bible says that God said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock of what? The rock of the revelation. Not what men are saying. He asked him, who do men say I am? They didn't know him. They just saw what he could do. They weren't believers. Some say they are Jeremiah. Some say a prophet. Some say Isaiah. Some say Elijah. But he said, who do you say? Peter heard. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Peter heard the Father say, he is the Christ. Jesus rejoiced and said, upon this revelation, those that know who I am by revelation, I will build a church. That word church is a political term. I will build my ecclesia. I will establish my called out ones upon this rock, and the gates of hell, all that hell has, anything hell can throw at them will not prevail. Amen. They'll gather together against you, but the Lord said, not by me. And all they that gather together against you shall fall for your sake. That's what God said. Hell shall gather together against you, but no weapon formed. I said, not one weapon formed. You might see it formed with your eyes. That's not a time to get afraid. That's a time to praise. That's a time to shout. When it looks like you ain't got no hope. You've been thrust into those seven nations greater than yourself. But you might not have the natural weapons. But you got the promise of God. My word will not fail. My word is going forth, and it shall accomplish that which I sent it to accomplish. But I need somebody to stand in the gap. I need somebody to declare the truth. I need somebody to believe what I said. Do you believe him today? Hallelujah. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are qualified. You are justified. I'm talking to the church. Hallelujah.